Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Carlos Chucos, Cody Georgeson, and Travis are swell people. With hard-to-say names. Who says swell in 2024? We do when it comes to our rad patrons. Wait, who says rad in 2025? Well, you get the idea. Sign up today at patreon.com/TMS. Coming up on the morning stream, Nuts on Bark.
You'll get no punish props, no second half of the show, and no Lieutenant Yar!
She's legs all the way down and to the left.
Indiana Jones and the Frisbee of Doom.
The Lotion on the Skin guy.
I've seen a fat kid get shot with some bullets.
It's time to watch Goonies.
AI art is like porn. You know it when you see it.
Let us Snopes that for you.
Sugar-free, sugary things.
10 easy payments of $175 million.
Tomorrow's show will be normal.
Once you get into the box, you can suitcase that stuff up.
It hit me whilst on the toilet.
Bills, making farts, and less on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Okay, then. Nice visiting with you. See you at the party.
No.
I need the money.
The Morning Stream. We're not toys. We're action figures.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to TMS. It's the morning stream for Tuesday, March 26th, 2024. I'm Scott Johnson with Brian Abbott. Hi, Brian.
Hey, I got infected by the Venom symbiote, so I'm just going to dance like this the entire episode.
Oh, gosh. Look at you. You are the Tobey Maguire my heart longed for today. That's twice that's come up. Oh, that was with you, though, again.
Yeah, it was with me. Yeah, that was the one who brought it up, actually.
I was like, wait, where did I just see that this morning? And it was a whole
and
other...
Ever since I put that GIF in our chat, it was like, oh, and I can't get it out of my head. That stupid, sad Spider-Man 3.
That's so bad.
Which, you saw that Sony's bringing every Spider-Man movie back every week for a month and a half or whatever it is.
Oh, to theaters? I didn't know that.
To theaters, yeah.
No, I didn't know that. Are they going right up to the current... Tom Holland?
Right up to No Way Home, yeah.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, I kind of, there's a couple I wouldn't mind. I actually, probably not a controversial, not a hot take, but I really like the Andrew Garfield Spider-Man movies. I think that there was, let me rephrase that. I really liked Andrew Garfield as Peter Parker.
Yeah, he was good.
I think he was
he wasn't the problem.
Awkward.
And he wasn't the problem with those movies.
He wasn't the problem, yeah. Paul Giamatti's Rhino. Was the problem.
Yeah, he got him for 5 seconds. It wasn't enough of Rhino. It was either too much Rhino or not enough Rhino, and in that case, not enough, I think.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, yeah, Electro was... Yeah, the Electro...
This movie's
again,
had problems.
Bad casting on the villains. Although, what's his face? Rise... who was the lizard?
Oh, crap, I like him. I know who you mean.
Yes, and he was good. He was a good villain, but
yeah. Why can't I think of who that is? That's not
Iphans,
the
Rise Iphans. Iphans.
He's not the Lotion on the Skin guy. Who is he? Why am I thinking that? Hold on.
Wait. Lotion on the Skin guy.
Yeah, I'm thinking of the dude from Buffalo.
From Silence of the Lambs?
Yeah, Buffalo, what's his name? That's not that actor, is it?
No. Who was the guy who played
Spider-Man.
Can think of who played the... Oh, Ted Levine was Buffalo Bill.
Oh, that's who that is. I mix them up every time. Amazing Spider-Man 2. He was played by... Oh, Colm Feet... No, that's not it. Hold on. I can't find it. This is going great.
Which, yep. Who are you looking up now?
That guy, the lizard guy.
Oh, I thought we decided it was Rise Iphens.
Oh, did we? Okay.
I thought so.
I don't see him. But
I don't know how to pronounce...
I didn't hate Jamie Foxx's Electro. I thought it was fine.
I thought the whole Electro... maybe it was the look that bothered me. I'm not saying I want a mask that looks like a giant yellow spark.
No.
I definitely don't want that.
No.
But, yeah.
It's a problematic thing. The way they did it. You're right. It is Rise at Ethan's, and now I know who it is. It's the guy from...
Notting Hill.
And
Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows.
And the dragon thing. The new one. The House of the Dragon. He's the Hand of the King. Right.
Yeah. Otto Hightower. Yes.
That's right. I kind of like
Hightower!
He's great. What a weird thing, because watching that was like the Notting Hill and that thing, that they're just not even in the same universe. Like, they couldn't be more different characters. I used to love watching that. I can't wait for that new season. Bring it!
Yeah, me too. I am looking forward to that.
So I have a cousin who lives in Denver. Yeah. There, where you do?
Yeah, when are you going to come visit? He's saying you really need to come visit. And
I probably should. My aunt is not going to live forever. I really ought to go visit her.
I hope he's not listening now. Jeez.
Also in her 80s.
All of a sudden, your cousin's like, oh, geez.
Yeah, I really ought to get out there and see them. But anyway, he listens to the show, which was news to me. And he asked me, cool. He says, hey, where is that candy place that you and Brian talked about, Brian goes to, or he's got friends there or something like that. And I could not remember the name.
I go there and I have friends there. Yes.
Yeah. You have both things. It's the Georgetown Valley Candy Company, correct?
That's right. Yep. Shop GVCC is the website. Shopgvcc.com. They have a gorgeous, gorgeous website, man. I don't know who designed this website, but it is.
It's next level.
Spectacular.
Yeah.
It's next level.
You guys won't believe it when you see it. It's just
you won't
believe
how great this this website looks. Actually, this was one of the first ones I ever did, so it's like really early on. But I designed their logo and took all the photos of their products. These really high close up photos. Look at that caramel corn right there.
I know, and look at that building. By the way, that's so awesome.
Yeah, that is their location, and it's like that doesn't even show you all the cool stained glass that's in there.
So if you guys want, you know, fudge, brittles, caramels, divinity, artisan chocolates, ice cream, Easter specials, what the F are you doing? If you live in the Denver area, get out there and get it done.
That's right. Their caramel corn it's the best thing ever. I've never had caramel corn or caramel corn. We've talked about whether it's caramel or caramel, and I obviously vacillate back and forth. But I've never had caramel corn as good as the caramel corn that they have there.
And these are the guys you do the Oscar night party with, right?
Yeah. Every year there are Oscar night buddies, and they ship. They can't ship in Colorado legally because of some local tax thing.
Really?
Yeah. It's less about can't. It's more about not with the amount of stuff they have to pay for the license to ship within Colorado. It doesn't work for them because they want to keep their prices low. So outside of Colorado, they'll ship and it's totally worth it. And their stuff is great. I think they'll even ship their caramel corn, which is so good.
Yeah, it sounds good.
Caramel corn.
Here's something I've learned with the no sugar rule. Nobody makes sugar-free caramel corn anywhere.
No, but these guys do have other sugar-free things. They have sugar-free... not brittles, but barks, like chocolate bark.
I love a good bark. Oh,
and bark with nuts in it, whatever they call that stuff. Maybe that's just called bark with nuts.
Yeah,
I don't know. I did their website. I don't know what the hell this stuff is called.
nuts on bark. Maybe that's it.
Nuts like, on bark.
Yeah, old Tim Conway videos you could buy. Nuts on bark. It's fantastic. Right. I would eat that. Yeah. Hell yeah, I'd eat that bark.
Yeah.
I have to order some.
Maybe we'll swing by. That website again is shitoutofluck.com. No, that website again is shop, S-H-O-P, G-V-C-C.com. Shopgvcc.com. Yep. Or just search for, I think just searching for Georgetown Valley. I feel like I've got their SEO dialed in pretty well with just looking for Georgetown Valley.
Sure.
By the way, whenever I show a fictional photo of what Coverville looks like,
yeah,
it's always this photo of Georgetown Valley, which like those shots I had done with the photographer where I'm in the blue tuxedo and I'm like holding a microphone or sitting at a desk. That landscape behind me, that little valley, is Georgetown Valley.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's beautiful there.
Yeah. When you come visit your cousin,
yeah,
and you take I-70 into Colorado, into Denver,
yeah,
you will stop in Georgetown Valley and say, this is like my ideal kind of place. It's a little small town.
Yeah.
It feels like the town in Resident Alien, honestly. It feels like that that Alaskan town.
I love like towns like that.
There's diner and a coffee shop and a candy store and a bunch of antique stores. And
it's like Midway here. I love places like that. I would live in those places if I could. If I could figure out a way and I could get fiber to the door, mm-hmm. I think I'd mm-hmm. do it.
And you're 30 minutes from Denver, you know, it'd be perfect right there.
Only 30 minutes? That's nothing.
Well, Resident Alien, oh, it is in Colorado. That's right. Resident Alien is shot in Colorado or is takes place in Colorado, not Alaska.
Where do they shoot it?
Probably Canada.
Vancouver.
I'm sure it's Canada.
It's probably Vancouver.
It's definitely not
Georgia.
I'll tell you, it's definitely not Georgia.
It's not Georgia. Okay, cool. Well, for once, we don't give Georgia our money, movie money. You know?
That's right. Exactly. Yeah. Can somebody find out where?
Hey, Dodd Vickers. Where they, Dodd Vickers probably knows. He could tell us.
Iocal says north of Vancouver is where they film it.
Of course.
But it looks like they might shoot exterior shots in Colorado for the town.
They do that a lot.
Yeah.
Shows like this. They go out and they did that for because they filmed it in Washington, but they would do secondary footage for northern exposure. They'd actually shoot in Alaska and then bring back, and that was your B-roll you would use to pad it out. All right, got some good news.
Yeah, tell me some good news, everyone.
The Johnson Kitchen is currently full of swag bag assembly. And when I say bag, this year it's boxes.
Oh, really? Swag boxes.
That's why we're...
how much room do people need to leave in their suitcases to come home?
Not much, because once you get into the box, the things that are in there, you can suitcase that stuff up. So
okay, but the box itself is not... It's not a nice item. It's like a box.
No, just a box. Okay. Nothing fancy there. We're in the thick of it. And you might say, well, isn't this a little early? You're like 30 days away or something. And we're just trying to be on top of it this year.
Doing better than I am. I haven't even printed the trophy yet. I haven't ordered all the things I need for Taskville. There's
still stuff to do. You know?
I need to make reservations for one of our things. I've got stuff I've got to do. I need to do that.
Well, anyway, they're all over the house now, and we're putting them together. We're waiting for some stuff to come in before we can put them back in their boxes. When those get here, then we do an assembly line. Shout out to Kim and Carter who are doing a ton of that for me, but it's all coming together. It's all looking real nice. I'm very excited for people to get their swag this year. So watch for that. Nice. And there are still a few tickets left, but not many. So if you still are coming to Vegas and you're on the fence and you don't know if you're going to come or not, vivatmsvegas.com for details and the few remaining tickets. Okay. So hop in there and check it out. We also got a note that we should not watch Goonies for a watch along.
For a couch party,
or anything else like that. This is what Michael from Edmonton says. Hey, Scott and Brian, a little while back, you mentioned watching the Goonies on Friday watch party. Please don't. That movie deserves a Film Sack episode, especially since you haven't seen it, Scott. It would be a disservice to that movie. I can only imagine the song Brian would produce and the calculated chaos that is Dunaway. We all need the 3 points of being a Goonie from Randy. Make it happen.
Yeah, it's really, absolutely agree, 100% agree. It should be a Film Sack movie because it's funny because I run into so many people who avoided it or missed it or just didn't see it for whatever reason. And the Goonies is as much part of the fabric of the 80s for me as Gremlins and Back to the Future and stuff like that. I mean,
I don't know how it is. I never saw it. I really don't. I've seen bits and pieces. I've seen the fat kid get shot with bullets, or not. That's the meme that was made around it. He doesn't actually get shot, but he's out front with his shirt up doing like this.
And the truffle shuffle.
Yeah, and I've seen a gif where they mix that with Captain Picard on the holodeck as a gangster shooting him with a Tommy gun. I've seen that.
Okay, all right.
I've seen the weird-faced-looking sloth guy. I know the mom is the throw mama from the train mama, and then
Joe Pantoliano is one of her sons.
Yep, I know Short Round's in it. I know Thanos is in it, and I know
Martha Plimpton's
in it. Yeah,
yeah,
and that's all I know. So we're gonna fill that Goonie-sized hole on Film Sack. That's where we're going to do it.
Cool. It's currently not streaming, but we've got our feelers out to let us know as soon as it is streaming. Yeah, so.
And we have it on disc. If we had to, we could do it. But
yeah,
we'd like it to be available to as many people as possible. That's why we do that, everybody.
Yeah, we know we've had discussions about but what about, I mean, you know, people have their ways of getting things. With prices going up, maybe people don't want to subscribe to services and they just want to get their things via Plex or whatever.
Yeah. Plus, back in the day when we were doing just Netflix and that's all there really was in the game, that made sense. These days it's, I don't know, 10 services that we vacillate between?
I know. Yeah.
So it's very different now.
It is very different.
I have a theory that I'd like to share, and this has to do with the show because you bring this up a lot.
I do.
When you send me a photo of anything, let's say you and Tina are out on the town.
Yes.
It doesn't even matter what it is. You're at a concert, there's doesn't a stage. Matter.
Yeah, it's like, oh, check out this thing that I just 3D printed.
And I have to zoom in and look at other details.
You have to, exactly.
This has been a thing since I was a little kid. I did it with magazines. I did it with, posters and paintings.
And I get it because Mad Magazine teaches you to do this, right? It's not always about the really cool Al Jaffe comic panels. It's the Sergio Aragonés stuff in the back corners that's like, oh, look at that. Oh my God, that's awesome.
Yeah, I love that. I love that kind of stuff. And I've always been kind of a visual thinker anyway. So for me, a photo isn't just a photo. It's like a puzzle almost.
Yeah.
And I realized, so it can be... Sometimes it's annoying because I'm not actually paying attention to what matters in the photo.
I know.
Instead, I'm just like, oh, look at that weird little guy down there with a hat that shouldn't be on his head or whatever. It's like, I just can't help it.
Right.
So I do this all the time, and I love things like, you know, Where's Waldo is kind of the big example of it. But I like those kinds of things where I have to find little details. Like that's the goal of the picture. I like to draw those sorts of things. I have multiple versions of that I've done. So it hit me. Today, this morning, whilst on the toilet, somebody sent me a link to a photo and said, man, look what happened to this this Cybertruck, this accident.
Okay.
And this picture here, I'll share it so you can see kind of what I'm talking about.
Then I sent you a photo that now when I send you photos like this Cad Bane that I just printed for one of our listeners, that's in our Discord here. I use the photo setting or the portrait setting so it blurs out the background so you can't focus on the little details in the back and you actually look at the thing that I want you to look at, which is the...
No, that's great. That'll keep me on task because otherwise I get distracted. Okay, so I'm going to share these with you and the chat. Okay. The original photo is... where's Discord? Hold on. Okay, you're in the background. There you are. All right, so I'll drag this over. The original photo, by all accounts, if you just glance at this, you go, oh, man, look what has happened. This is a terrible accident.
Crashed into something. Wow.
Yeah, really gnarly, right? But then my brain went, hold on a minute. Something's not right.
My first thing I looked at was that traffic light. That does not look.
No, it's wrong. Look at that traffic light. Let's zoom in.
It's totally wrong. It's like there are four lights.
Yeah. Yep, and it's borked, and the way the thing's connected is wrong. Like, that's just wrong. Right. Also, what part of traffic is it actually running? Then I also glanced down at the tire in the rear. Look at that rear tire. Hold on, let me blow this up.
Oh, yeah. Like, its treads are mismatched and not...
And the bars, not bars, whatever you want to call that, what do you call that? The spokes, I guess,
The
outer shell thing.
Right.
That's all effed up. That doesn't look right at all. Yeah. And the treads, like you said, the treads don't line up. And so
they're like unevenly spaced.
So this is what happens now that I think about these things. I think that this is actually a valuable tool for me moving forward in my life. Because as the world becomes more and more inundated with fake imagery that people just fall for, as soon as they see it, they're like, look at this. And they can't believe it. I don't do that. I've yet to do that. Actually, any kind of, I don't know what it is, but AI stuff in particular, I just know. I see it and I go, well, that's effed. And other people are going, look at this. I can't believe the Cybertruck is such a weak truck for hitting the thing. And they go off on these big tirades. I'm like, slow down. Look at that tire. Look at that light. Like, to me, these details pop. They come out of the thing while other people just aren't seeing it. So I'm going to say that from now on, my stupid, weird tendency to notice these dinky little things is actually good for it's good because I will not get fooled. You know,
no, it will keep you from getting fooled. Like, you'll look at this woman with 18 legs and say, hold on a second. I don't know if this is a real photograph. There's something about this. Let me look at the background details. Yeah, this tree back here, there's a branch that's coming out of nowhere. So I think this is fake.
Yeah, these ones that are where they're now, the ones that are obvious, we talked about this pre-show, but this girl you sent me, I'm putting it up again.
Yes.
I love shit like this. Like,
I do too. Like, give me more of this.
More of this, right? Where it's just stupid and useless and also just kind of funny and strange and discordant and all that. I like that. I'm fine with it. But when you're trying to fake me out, which is, I don't know, something like every time I go to Facebook to check on things, my timeline has old people posting what they believe to be real images that are not real.
Yeah.
And it'll be like a guy saving a baby from a lava pit.
Uh-huh.
I saw one of these. It looked like a dude reaching down and saving this child by holding its leg and pulling him out of the lava pit. And they're all going off. Bless him. Bless him for his sacrifice. Blah, 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 blah. Right. I'm like, you guys, somebody prompted that into Midjourney and made it. And you guys are all stupid.
That baby has 18 fingers on one hand.
I just think there's a real literacy thing going forward, but people just aren't prepared for this. They're just not ready to see it.
It's basically what we had to do with our parents when, 10 years ago when we started sending them Snopes.com links for everything that they sent us. Like, did you hear about this problem where they're putting battery acid and NyQuil? I'm like, nope, Snopes.com, battery acid, NyQuil. Here you go. Bing. Let me Snopes that for you. Should be really the website. Yeah. So let me Google that for you. It should have been, let me Snopes that for you.
And there's some good sites now that'll do, if you feed an image into it, it will give you a percentage chance of it being AI or altered. Yeah. And it's super accurate. So it does things like mathematically check light sources, whether or not they would create reflections in the way that they're doing it. Now, some people, there's always this cynical thing of like, well, you can detect it for now. You know, because there's this idea that ominously, well, for sure there'll be a time where that changes. I'm not convinced because I was told that with Photoshop and you can still detect those. I was told that with movie effects and I can still detect those. I mean, sure, they've gotten great and they've gotten better,
but you scrutinize something to some point, you can always figure it out. Yeah. I mean, it's going to be the constant, well, we've got this tool that can identify AI. Well, now AI uses that tool to figure out a way to make it so you can't figure out its AI. Well, but it's doing this new thing that now we can figure out. Well, now AI has figured out how to use that thing. So it's going to be a constant, like, neck and neck battle It's going to be constant evolution of the tools and the AI that fortunately the tools can always be one step ahead as AI catches up.
Yeah, and the good thing to remember is this really is as old as time. Like, those old photos where Hitler would have someone removed from a photo, then used very old techniques to do it or to add someone to a photo. But he would go through hoops to do that.
And now Princess Kate is doing it.
Everyone's doing it. And so I think there's a literacy to this and it's important. I'm not saying that everything you ever see, you should immediately go into skeptic mode, but maybe you should. Like, there's so much bullshit right now. Like, it's such,
it really is
such crap that you just have to be able to look at it and don't just assume it. Now, when Brian sends me a photo of his date, that's not what I'm doing. I'm going, wait, what's
that
going on?
That is my prom picture, that blonde I showed you with the 14 legs and dancing with her.
She's real.
Quite an event.
It was
quite,
I don't know how you,
pleasurable, I must say.
How many cars did you have to, I mean, how big was your limo?
We had one limo, but she rode in that. And then I rode in a Subaru right behind her.
That makes sense. One of her five legs was sticking out the window the whole time. Anyway, we'll see how that all folds as it goes on.
It's an interesting thing. Yeah.
Yeah. It fascinates me. But here's what fascinates me even more. News coverage. Hold on. News coverage.
Hey,
It's time for the news, and it's brought to you by...
The age-old story of a man who gets steroids and a frisbee to fight off Nazis.
All right, what movie is it?
That's Captain America Winter Soldier.
Nicely done.
Frisbee. Frisbee. Nice.
I wonder if it's more... Well, the Winter Soldier was also still Hydra, right? They're Nazis.
It was still Hydra, but you could turned out the man who got steroids in that was a Nazi and a secret Nazi.
Oh, that's right. That's totally correct. Well, anyway, I like doing these, so occasionally
I know that's fun. I like these. Yeah, keep them up. It's like a little, it's like a little bonus trivia game for me.
Yeah. All right. Here's one.
And I didn't figure it out until like 5 seconds before we, because I looked at that earlier and I did not figure it out. I was like, well, Tron, they have discs, but there's no Nazis in Tron.
See, I would have gone Tron too. That's exactly where my head would go.
That frisbee thing threw me. That was the thing.
Because this shield is a big old heavy freaking monster. It's not a. It is. You know, so frisbee makes it seem flimsy and lame. But right, that's the trick of the question, you guys.
That's
and I'm going to keep
doing
these.
The trick of the question. And the Nazi was of Indiana Jones. No frisbees in Indiana Jones.
Not that I know of.
Just bad dates.
Indeed, bad dates. School criticized for cage doors to stop pupils using toilets in lessons. So this is a UK story, by the way. So
cage doors to stop pupils using toilets in lessons.
Yeah. And that sounds that's a very UK way of saying the bathroom.
It is. Use toilets. Yes.
Yeah. Controversial metal barriers have been installed inside a secondary school to stop students from using toilets outside of designated times. A concerned grandparent has criticized the new partitions at Foxford Community College in Longford, Coventry. Yeah.
Not in Foxford.
Oh, no. Longford, Coventry. What? they describe them as cage doors, saying the officials have gone too far. I think I agree. You can't block a kid from taking a pee.
Yeah, I mean... Isn't that why you get a hall pass so you can go to the bathroom when you need to go to the bathroom?
Yeah. Do you guys not do hall passes in the UK? How do you guys handle that? Because we did. Yeah. And we had hall monitors.
So are they afraid that kids are like taking a test and then, I need to go to the loo. And then they go to the bathroom, look it up on their phone, come back, enter in the answer. Is that what they're afraid of? I don't know what the
I don't know.
Is.
They had to. I guess if a kid had to pee 14 times during his test, you might have some questions, but... If a kid just had to pee in the middle of the test, just let him pee. Just have him go. Yeah.
They have not developed their regular pee schedule at that age yet.
It says here they're unlocked. Okay, so the school refutes the claim, stating the barriers are not quote-unquote cages, that they are unlocked outside of class hours. Well, no, that's the problem is you have them locked at all. Anyway, right, it's been alleged that students only permitted to use the bathrooms while under supervision during lessons. Ian Ward from Coventry said the grandchildren had been left upset over the change and described the move as totally wrong and said the new rules had been enforced for every year group from year 7 to year 11 because teachers were having issues with students in the toilets. They didn't get into what the issues were. I mean, maybe off to smoke a cigarette or something. Or as they would say, the F-A-G word. That's what they would say.
That's right. These metal barriers, these are freaking... I mean, to call them cages, to call it looking like a prison is not an exaggeration. These are friggin' prison cage doors. And you come out of class and you see that, you're really not going to say, I'm in a friendly, welcoming place of learning. Yep. I can't wait to absorb all the knowledge you're presenting to me. You're going to say... You screws, when are you giving me lunch?
Yeah, this does look like, this looks authoritarian. Authoritarian. Exactly. The word isn't coming out, but that's the word I mean.
I'll sell you some cigarettes for a little bit of daylight, a little bit of time on the basketball courts and the weights outside.
It actually looks expensive. These look like high-end, like prison-y stuff. That's the other thing. You're spending all your council's money. Isn't that what they do over there? Their council?
The council's money, yes.
You guys and your councils. Right. Well, anyway, big deal going on over there. Now we have this story about a police officer warned and salary getting deducted for playing his Switch while on duty.
Oh, dude, dock your Switch.
Yeah, dock your Switch. What are you doing? Police officer in his 40s at Japan Tenri Police Station. This is in Japan. Have been reprimanded after playing Switch while on duty. Aside from receiving a warning from the director of the Nara Prefecture Police Department, his pay will be deducted as well. It was not stated how much yen he would lose. According to the report in the Japan News, the officer used a switch 10 times for a total of 17 hours between November 2023 and February 2024. It's not really that much, but no. I don't know, whatever. Again, this is while he was on duty. Police say that his work was neglected when he connected the system to a TV in the break room.
I mean, break room. Is he on a break? If he was on a break, well, I guess he's saying while he's on duty. Don't these guys get breaks? Can't they go play? Plus, NintendoEverything.com. What's the game? Yeah. What is he playing?
Yeah, what game? I would like to know. This matters, actually.
Breath of the Wild? Tears of the Kingdom? I believe it. It makes sense, and I totally stand behind it.
Sure. If he was playing some crappy $1.99, you know, indie poo-poo game that he got on the store on sale, well, then I'd have issues, maybe.
If he's working on his island and, you know, for Tom Nook, then I'm a little, then I'm less forgiving.
Yeah. Nobody should be doing anything for that little bastard.
Tom Nook.
It says
aren't
here.
Aren't we due for a new one of those, by the way? We should be due for a new one.
I mean, it feels like it, that what, 2020. So, I mean, 4 years. I don't know. Probably close. I'm guessing they'd save that for Switch 2, whatever that ends up being.
Oh, yeah. That'll be their killer app.
Because the Switch 2 is overdue. Like right now, 2017 Switch came out. So we're now looking at, was that February?
7 years. Yeah.
February of that year. So just almost exactly, just a little more than 7 years. That's not like that's long by some standards, but we don't do the 10-year cycle anymore. It's closer to five to six or something. So,
yeah.
Hey, Nintendo, next time, here's what you need to do. All right. Next time you do this, let's see, will this play this for you and me? Let me find out.
Okay.
Discord does this better than anybody right now. If I can find it. Here we go. Okay. Scroll down. We click on this. I hope this doesn't kick you off. If it does, I apologize.
That's all right. If it does.
No, it will. I'm not going to let it. Never mind.
Okay.
Anyway, you know what? I'll use some of their own stuff here. But if they launch a console and it doesn't have something like this going on, not that, this. They need to have shops music again.
Yeah, that's right. That's true. The Nintendo eShop on Switch doesn't have this.
They all did. All up till this, almost everything you got from the Wii forward, and I'm including DS
I'll
Lite.
I'll be honest, Nintendo, that music, my wallet, actually, just hearing that music, my wallet jumped out of my pants and landed on my desk, like, buy something. Like, it was, my hands were up here, my wallet leapt out of my pocket and said, and opened up, and my card came out, and
exactly, and that's, a little dance. That store also, that store better not be slow either. My gosh, that store is slow. It's so bad.
Make
I don't
it
know.
Easier to navigate. Like,
it's terrible. Figure,
it's horrible. Oh, my gosh.
Absolutely worst store experience in video games today.
Yeah.
Without
have
a question.
Look at PlayStation Marketplace or PlayStation Store, I think, is so much better.
It's like a lot better. They're actually about to do a big overhaul, though. I wonder what that's going to be. The PlayStation Store is getting like a interface change, but. But that, I'd take the Xbox one over that. Steam's is better. Yeah. Everybody's storefront is better. Nintendo, you should have a little Mario running around with coins when I buy something. When it installs, it should be a little Goomba jumping into a pipe.
Yes.
Well, you're Nintendo.
And when I buy something, immediately say, you've got a game open. I can't download this while your game's open. You want to close that game? Because otherwise I sit there and say, why hasn't it downloaded?
Yeah. See, it's just a bad experience. It's bad. Bad design.
Yeah.
There's no excuse. They shouldn't have done that. No, I know they were coming off the Wii U, and that was an ugly time for them. And maybe they just were like, we just better do the basics here. Well, don't pull that off again, okay? We'll probably hear this year what's coming. And when we do, we better hear about store music. All right. Moving on to this story.
By the way, people, don't play. If you're a police officer, don't go hunting for Pokemon. Yeah. During emergency calls, and don't play your Switch while you're on duty.
Especially in Japan, I guess. I don't know what's going on over there.
Especially in Japan.
What's it like here?
Please tell when they come to interview, please tell the interviewer, the reporter, what game you were playing and not just say Switch. Okay?
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah, thank you very much. Also, dude, what listens to the show, police officer H is his online name. Can you write in and tell me, what do you guys held? What standard are you held to? I won't say even what state he's in. I don't want to dox this police
officer.
Clearly
he's in the U.S. or else you would have said his name was H.
Yeah, it's definitely a U.S.-based cop. But I want to know what, are you I had a lovely lunch with this guy once. Super nice guy. But I know he likes video games, so I'm just curious. Are you guys allowed? Like, let's say you're at a stakeout or you're just patrolling. Can one of you just pull out your phone and, you know, do a little something?
Candy Crush or something while you're...
Yeah. Or are you held to these same, you know, stringent standards of do not play games while on duty? I don't know.
You know, I'm back on, by the way, like, because I stopped playing Monopoly Go months ago, right? Yeah. And I've been trying to find something that I like, and for a while I was playing this rummy thing that's like a live PvP rummy.
Yeah.
Gin rummy, which is kind of fun. But I'm freaking back on Card Crawl. I love that game.
Oh, Card Crawl's so good.
It welcomes you back with open arms and awesome graphics.
It is not only that, how do I put this? It's one of those, you know, remember that game you and I always talk about, we can never find an equivalent of it, where you have the dice and you roll them and then you lock them into the spaces?
Yeah, the
Egyptian dice roller thing, whatever it was.
Not HyperX, but it was something like that. It was some word that had the word Motion X, Motion X dice, something like that.
And every once in a while, something will come along like that, and it just feels special. It doesn't matter the platform, these happen to be phones, but it just feels special, and then no one makes anything quite like it again. That's Card Crawl. It's so good.
It is. It's a good comparison. Yeah.
Card Crawl, what's the Thief one? I have all those.
Card Thief and Card Crawl Adventures. Yeah, they're all
excellent.
Right here in the little list. Yeah.
The one they do where it's the same company. Let's see. Do I have it here? Stephanie, if you're listening to this, you can ignore all this part.
Stephanie, stop listening as soon as we start doing this, by the way.
Oh, it's called, let's see. What is the two M's? This app has two M's in it, but I don't remember the name of the damn thing. Well, that seems like bad marketing.
What kind of game is it?
It's let's see if you recognize this icon. Does that icon look familiar right there? You see the little guy at the bottom, that double M one?
Oh, yes. What is that?
It's the same. It's the same devs, different artists, but it's another wonderful game, and it's cards.
I hear myself,
but I don't know the name. Something like.
Well, if you open it, doesn't it say? Yeah, it says it's
mine doesn't.
Tiny Touch Tales. And the name, it's scrolling. Thomas Wellman. Oh my God, I've got all the video like before it actually gets to any game.
I even hit the about button. Doesn't say the name.
Really?
Yeah, what's going on?
MM Potions. It was Mystical Monkey Men. Miracle Merchant?
Miracle Merchant! That's it.
There it is. Guess what just popped up on screen? Miracle Merchant.
Oh, thank you. Mine didn't do that. That's weird. Yeah, that game's great too. Whatever they do, it's all magic sauce over there.
They know how to create games.
Sure. All right. All that aside, I found something you'd like, and I'm just going to give you a quick recommendation.
Yeah, all sure. Right. We got time.
We got time for this. This is a game called...
We haven't even told people that we're...
Oh, we're a little short today, by the way.
We're ending this show early.
Yeah, we're like 5 minutes away from the show being
over.
We
should have, you know, we could have done is we could have just like your age quit.
Yeah.
Like we should have, since we forgot to tell, like, you know what? Screw it. I'm out.
Yeah, I'm out of here. Say F off, everybody. We're out of here early. This game is called
Stephanie Not Liking Apps. We're done for the day.
You need to download Slice and Dice. It's free to download.
Oh, Slice and Dice.
And dice is the operative word here. This is as close as I've come to that thing we liked about that old game.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. So it's like, roll dice, put them in slots you think they fit in. It's set in, you know, it's fantasy kind of roguelike kind of stuff.
Skull, it's got a skull for an icon, yes?
Correct. That's the one. Okay. And it's free. I think it might just be straight free. Sounds like,
boy, I've never actually heard Ellipsis before until just now when you said it's free.
Period. I was trying to make sure. Well, I don't know if it ever costs anything. I know this is $10 on Steam, but on phones, I think it's just straight free and there's no buy anything, I think.
Yeah, I'm looking.
Oh, here it is. I found it. Single purchase, no ads offline, although I haven't had any ads yet.
$8.99 for full game.
Yeah, you need to. I like it. You need to try this. I think you would dig it. It's very good.
Cool.
Single developer. I don't mean he's not married. I mean, it's just one guy. And it's very, very good, and it scratches that itch. So there's your App Slappy for the
Luke
month.
Luke Skywalker, one of the games that me and Melania love to play. We love to play. Truth Social. We call it social media.
Yeah. Yeah.
We've called it social media since the beginning. We actually invented the term. You'll find all the best people over there. Truth Social.
He didn't have to spend all his money yesterday. He found a way out.
Yeah, although they're still thinking he's going to have a hard time coming up with 175,000. Or, I mean, 100, what was it, 1.75 million?
1.75 million. The total is 400 and something million, so I think it was 175 million. It's like half.
And then they reduced it down. Yeah, right. Okay, 175 million.
Yeah, they're basically letting him do it in payments.
Really?
Yeah, kind of, I guess. I don't know. It'd be like if you and I owed 50 bucks, they'd let us do it in 10 easy payments of 10. Jeez. You know, but you know, on that level, 10 bucks makes sense. But 400 and something million, geez Louises, that's a lot of money.
Yeah, that's a lot of money. But so they let him put it on one of those, what's that? Like, whenever you order something online, you always get that offer, like, or make four easy payments of $35 each with whatever.
It's tempting when I buy new Apple stuff, and I'll have to admit. Because I'll see
get the
it
new
go.
Vision Pro, or make 643 easy payments of $35 a month.
That's right. Become an indentured servant for the rest of your life.
By the time you finally paid this off, the Vision Pro 6 will be out, and it'll be a quarter of the price.
Enjoy. All right. So to the point Brian made earlier about the show being a little short today, we are not having... Well, Bill's on a plane anyway, so he wouldn't have been here anyway. So but we have no Bill today.
Can't wait to find out what he's making on that plane, by the way. I bet it's cool.
Bread. Probably making bread. making bread. I don't know what you do on a plane.
He's making farts is what he's making on that plane, for sure. There's no doubt in my mind. Bill's making farts.
Yeah, sharing his creations with the rest of the plane. But anyway, he's gone. He's on his way to Florida, so he's not here anyway. But I've got this whole side art project that I can't even talk about because it's NDA'd. So I'm just working on it, trying to get stuff done. Today's kind of go day, according to a meeting I had yesterday. So I have to do that because I got to meet with them about it and do a whole thing. But also, that means no core games today. I apologize. At least for me, John and Bo may still play something. I don't know, but I may not be involved. Yeah. So watch for that. But that's why, okay, everybody? Sometimes things come up. We wanted to make sure still to have a semblance of a show here today.
Yeah.
And we did.
Exactly.
You know, look, if Brian was kind enough last night to say, yes, that sounds fine, then you all should be fine too.
That's right. You want to see my text reply to Scott? You can see my text reply to Scott. It said, yes, that's fine.
He says, yes, that's fine. He says,
you're right. We should give the people a show today.
Yeah.
No matter if it's short or not, we should. Yes.
We really should. And now we are. And then we did. And now we're done or we're close to it. So we're just going to go ahead and wind it down and say, thanks for being here, everybody. There will be a song here at the end. We'll do that in a second. Quick note, tomorrow's should be normal, just a normal ass Wednesday.
Yeah, recommendals, time with Tom.
Yep, all that stuff. I'm excited to hear about, was it you or Nicole doing the one about Nickelodeon? Nicole, I think.
Oh, Nicole. Nicole-odian.
Yeah, Nicole-odian tomorrow. Really interested in that take. And Carter watched a bunch and had some thoughts as well. And it sounds like something I'm going to have to watch just so I don't know. I kind of don't want to see it. I don't want to hear about debauchery.
I know. I'm hearing some rough stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm also hearing it's like a really good thing that you know, it's good to be aware of shit so you can
alter
your life view to allow less shit to happen under your watch. I don't know. Look, Brian and I don't have 30 people working for us that are all up to no good. We don't know what this is like. But if we did, we'd want to know. All right, that's it.
Know, and we would treat them far better than Nickelodeon treated their people.
Sure, sounds like it. All right, we're done then. I want to thank everybody for listening. Please go to our website, frogpants.com/TMS. And again, a reminder about those tickets. We are in the waning few TMS tickets for Vegas. So if you want them and you want to be there and hang out with us, please do go over to vivatmsvegas.com. There is a link to the store, link for it, and all the other stuff you're going to need to know about the event are there. One thing, just to say as a side note, I was on the site this morning. If some of you are new this year, you're like, oh, I think I might come, I might not, and you go to there, you might be a little overwhelmed going, look at all this stuff. I don't know what I'm – should I do that? Should I do
– Oh, the Viva TMS Vegas site?
Yeah, don't stress about it. Like,
No.
It's all much of it is optional, and it's some stuff may not be your jam. Like, I'm not getting up in the high roller.
Everything's optional. You don't have to come to play Playground on Tuesday night. You'll be missing out. You don't have to come to the video game tournament on on Monday.
Or our live show on Wednesday, but you'd be missing out. The point is, like, you kind of can pick and choose. If you're like me, like, I don't drink and I don't like high spaces, so I don't go on the high roller. You can sit down there at the base with me and hang out. We can talk.
Exactly.
I sat with Mizzoula last year and had him. Every year, Mizzoula and I are at the base of that thing. We have a great discussion about life. And, you know, and you can be a part of that.
Exactly.
So anyway, go check it out. VivaTMSVegas.com. All right, Brian, let's get out of here. Do you have a song that we can play?
I have a song, and this is going out to a friend of the show, Chuck Robinson, a.k.a. Nautomaton. 40-something years ago, when I got my first pair of glasses, I got home, turned on the radio, and Foreigner's Double Vision was the first song I heard. Monday, the 25th. I'm having retinal surgery. Trust me, you don't want the details. So I'd love it if you would play a cover of Double Vision, if there's a good one available. And if not, I'll leave it in your capable hands to select an appropriate song. Thanks, Chuck. Now, we have heard from Chuck. He is recovering nicely. Things went well. He's got a little bit of symbiote fluid in the bottom of his eyeball that hopefully won't turn him into Venom at Viva TMS Vegas, but no promises. So, you know, we'll just keep an eye on that aspect, but
so to speak,
heck yeah, I've got a, what's that?
So to speak, we'll keep an eye on it. Like,
we'll keep an eye. I didn't think about that. That was kind of funny. I didn't even know. I wasn't even trying. And that happened.
That's good.
So we've got a cover of Double Vision. This is one I don't think I've played before on the show, and I don't know why, because I love it. This is from an album called Come On, Feel the Metal from 1997. You might be thinking, oh, a metal version of, Double Vision? No. Get ready. This is a band called Brave Combo. It is definitely not a metal version of Double Vision. Here is Brave Combo.
All right. We'll see you guys tomorrow.
seems to get the best of me. Yeah, the best of me.
Hey, Sword and Board. Scott, last week on TMS, you said that you plan to rewatch the David Lynch Dune. After you do, I urgently suggest that you watch Sci-Fi's Children of Dune. It's a 4.5-hour adaptation of Dune Messiah and Children of Dune. Its $20 million budget pales in comparison to Lynch's and Villeneuve's, so the special effects suffer by comparison. However, it goes much deeper into the personal relationships of the main characters and into the complicated plans that the movies do. I can't recommend it enough. Oh, and the soundtrack. Did I mention the soundtrack? I can't get enough of it. So much so that I bought the soundtrack CD back in the day. It's free to watch on YouTube. Sci-Fi's Dune is also on YouTube if you're interested. Sadly, Sci-Fi was bought by NBC Media right after Children of Dune, and the channel went the direction of reality shows, etc. Otherwise, with their success of Dune and Children of Dune, we might have gotten God Emperor of Dune and who knows how much more. Love the show, though. Terry V in Chicago.
Hi, guys. It's Nat, Dirt Boxing's in the chat here. Just calling as I was listening to episode 2613. At TMS, and you guys are talking about stadium names in the US and how they sell their naming rights to different companies, and the company name is quite uninspiring. In England, we don't do that as much. There are a couple of examples, but most of our stadiums, they'll have the same name for like 100 years. So like my team play at Elland Road. It's been that way for 100 years. Liverpool play at Anfield. Manchester United play at Old Trafford, so on and so forth. But we do have a team called Bolton in Greater Manchester, Bolton Wanderers. And since 1997, they've sold their naming rights and they had the Reebok Stadium. And everyone calls it the Reebok still. But this season, they changed the naming rights again. And they're called, it's called the Tough Sheet Stadium, which is brilliant for radio, TV, things like that. I just thought you might enjoy that. But yeah, we don't really do any of that sort of ultra capitalist nonsense here. So yeah, another point for us Brits in a bit.
Hey, Scott and Brian, this is Doug from Philly calling into the morning stream. I need to fill you in on a live update. This is live happening, breaking news. But I feel like this would be something that Scott would come across and you guys would discuss it and figure out what the hell is going on right now. So anyways, I am driving home from work and the car in front of me, the guy, you know, you can see in the back of the window of, you know, vehicles in front of you. We're just going on a two-lane road here, but he's eating out of a chips bag, full-size chip bag, tilting it up to his face, you know, getting the last little bit of crumbs out as you do. However, I've noticed, and it's still go. Oh my God, it happened again. So he's tilted up at 13 times. 13 times he's tilted it up to his face to get the crumbs out. Meanwhile, every time it happens, he swerves off to the side a little bit and corrects himself. But 13, how many crumbs do you have in the bottom of this bag that you have? Oh, my goodness. This is weird. Anyways, guys, it's happening as I'm driving home listening to your show. I felt like I had to call in and let you know about it. Love the show, though. Have a great day, guys. Take care.
Scooter and Boop, it is your favorite Kermit the Frog. I did Kermit for FilmStack intro the other a few months ago. Just had a call. You guys brought up Steve Miller's Abracadabra the other day on TMS, and it triggered this crazy memory that I had of I was probably 18 or 19. I was hanging out with a friend of mine. His dad was and I don't say this lightly, raging alcoholic who had these giant old 70s wooden cabinet speakers just blaring, and he, Abracadabra was one of his favorites. So I'm coming over there. We're probably playing Halo 2, something like that. You know, couple of teenagers playing Halo 2 doing that. This dude comes into to my friend's room just absolutely bonked, just no whole nother planet. He goes, "Hey, you guys want to go to a titty bar?" And for whatever reason, you talking about Abracadabra just brought that whole memory back for me, and I've never heard of a strip club being called a titty bar, but I figured you'd appreciate that story. All right, love the show, though. Thanks, guys. Bye.
Once upon a time in the quirky town of Clip Clop, Scott and Brian embarked on an extraordinary adventure involving too much hassle and unexpected surprises. As they strolled through the town square, they overheard a conversation about testing the ship's phasers for an upcoming space mission. "I can definitely see why you like it," Brian exclaimed, pointing at the futuristic spaceship on display. Very intrigued, Scott pondered if it was too early to get a fish sandwich from the intergalactic food truck parked nearby. Amidst the cosmic chatter, a peculiar figure resembling a cheetah approached, offering a bag of mysterious snacks, which looked oddly like fried bees covered in bacon cheddar ranch flavoring. "Neither take plums nor leave plums," he cryptically advised, leaving Scott and Brian very puzzled. Suddenly, a burst of fart gas enveloped the area, catching the attention of the locals.
"Explosive tip!"
someone shouted, referring to a peculiar gadget being showcased at the nearby invention fair by a dog scientist. Curious about the commotion, Scott checked Twitter on his high-tech device, only to discover that the guy on Twitter who claimed dogs don't have brains had clearly lied. "Do dogs have brains? Of course they do," Scott thought, amused by the absurdity of it all. Feeling a little overwhelmed at this point, Brian decided to set his headphones down and go throw up behind a bizarre statue of what looks like a booth. "I don't like bees," he muttered, regretting the decision to indulge in the strange fried snacks. In the end, as the day unfolded with bizarre encounters and unexpected turns, Scott and Brian realized that sometimes embracing the oddities of life could lead to an unforgettable experience. "You know, they've all got talent," Scott remarked, reflecting on the eccentric characters they encountered through their peculiar journey in Clip Clop.
"Hello, Scott, and hello, Brian, and anyone else on the show. I just wanted to say, first of all, how much I really, really love all the Frog Pants Network shows. I listen to them pretty much all the time, so thank you for that. I was calling in reference to Freehand Freebirds episode where a book series was being discussed by Scott called Edge of Collapse, which I have not heard of before, so I now have downloaded that audiobook, and I can't wait to start it. I wanted to mention that if you like that kind of storyline, there is another one. It's written like late 90s, I think, early 2000s, called Dies the Fire by S.M. Sterling. And that particular book series covers a sort of a mystic event in which all electricity and other physical properties, like things like gunpowder and stuff, no longer works. In fact, steam even doesn't work with enough power to, say, move an engine, that sort of thing. It's a little mystical in how that happens, and that's part of the mystery, of course, of the whole thing. And the whole series really starts off up in kind of the rural part of Oregon and Washington, and of course, it's all very... everything collapsing and falling apart and getting into the transitions of one world to another when it comes to kind of people recreating themselves into a new sort of society or series of societies. And many books in the series, which is where it gets kind of fun because you really get to follow a lot of different things. I wanted to mention too, you mentioned Jericho. That was sort of a nuclear war kind of series that never really got a chance to end. It sort of has continued on in comic books. The real, TV show you were thinking of that has to do with the power going out is J.J. Abrams created some years ago a TV show called Revolution. And there was obviously, it never got to finish. So we have no idea really what was going to happen in that. And frankly, I feel like J.J. Abrams focused on the, okay, all the power went out, and there's a couple scenes of there's always planes falling out of the air in these stories. And then it cuts forward to 5 years in the future to essentially like going into a Jericho-style story, which kind of bummed me out because to me the whole fun is how humans handle the instant everything happens. How do they transition? How do they survive? I love those stories. But anyway, that's just me. Thanks a lot, and love the show, though, and take care. Bye-bye.
Get more at frogpants.com.
You got balls as big as church bells.